Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this time to read your word a little bit more carefully and to rejoice at the thoughts of the hope that we have in heaven. And we pray that you will open our understanding, speak to our hearts, and pray that you will learn how to walk out of darkness into the light instead. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we're going to take a look at a few verses at a time because it is so rich that I rather that we don't hurry the whole process. Some of the things which cannot be helped would be, for example, the description of the, you know, the New Jerusalem coming, you know, things that are, and that one, they're all related, so it takes a bit longer. But that one can't be helped. You can't sort of just simply describe the wall and don't talk about foundation. You've got to do the whole lot as a whole. But let's look at verses 5 to 8 and look at the whole idea of sitting on the, he who sat on the throne. Then he said, "Behold, I make all things new." And it's wonderful to know how the Lord said he will make all things new, right? And verse 4, you know, sometimes it is in the reality of life that we appreciate all the things we take for granted so much. So I was sharing at a caroling service at one of our, see, our Bible school graduates a lot of people, and it's a wonderful thing to see people graduating from school and then seeking to serve the Lord. But not everyone gets full support. So I wrote to him and I said, you know, tell me, what is it a problem that you look at very carefully? And he said, "To Pastor, to be very honest with you, I will tell you, my sister, you know, she's just 34, and her husband died when he just a few years ago at 32. So now we've got two young children, and there is no way in which she can support. So she works as a maid in Singapore." Right, because there's no other way to make a living. So she went to Singapore, and then she says the first few months you get nothing. It's just starting recently to get a small salary from Singapore, and then sends money over. So in the meantime, the two children stays with the pastor with his two children. Children, there are four, plus himself, plus the wife. So six people in one family. He says, "Pastor, to be very frank with you, we can barely make ends meet." He says, our support from the church is so little. This is not one of our churches. This is another church group. But one of one of my students from got over this. He says, "I really want to serve." And during the earthquake time, we sent him, he works in Mandalay. And he says that the amount of money we sent him from then until now, basically, he says, "I just bought as much rice as I could. And we're still living on that rice from then until now." So, but it's sort of, we have run out of it. And, you know, it just reminds us of what it means for us to be part of the Lord's people, you know, this is something that we want to understand and appreciate in a fresh new way. If we can do that, it really would be good for us to think about. So every time we come together, we just think of what we have. We can have so many things, you know, I mean, it's something that, so yesterday people asked me, "How's the food?" Frankly, I don't know. Because I was too busy carving turkey. By the time I finished carving the turkey, not only was the turkey gone, all the food was gone too. So what did I have? I went home to have some fruit cake, and that was my dinner. And that was it. You know, but you just think in terms of, we all take for granted that we all have so much. And we think in terms of how others just have hardly enough. And I want to encourage us all, when we come together, let's think about the place called heaven as something real. So there he is. He says the husband died when he was 32 years old. This COVID thing is not something that is just over straight away like that. It still continues to exist. I think what happened really was the fact that, you know, they had their whole village, their whole entire area burned. And so he says the house they live in was completely destroyed. The whole area is gone. So that village area, I've been there. I know what it is. It's gone. So just to let you know about what is the gift that we are going to give. The gift has already been given. I just want to let you know ahead of time. So whatever we want to give will be literally an extra gift. So the children were so happy that they were going to get two gifts. One from me, one from our class. He says, please. Now, this is this morning's email. Please thank all the uncles and auntie at this class for their gift. He said they were so excited. They just asked, can we wear the clothes now? Just to take a photograph, send it over. And we're just happy. So John wrote and said, Pastor, I just want to let you know, our children can go to school. Our children have adequate clothing. They have sufficient food. So many of the children around our place have got nothing close to what our children have. And they are so blessed. But think about what it means to have and to have not. Something is inevitable. But think about this, right? So let's look at 5. And the Lord said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and they are faithful. Right? So look at verse 6. And he said, it is done. And I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. I think this is something that we are very deeply committed to literally help people come every time we have a chance to feed on the Word of God. It is both food and drink at the same time. Don't tire of it. Right? I mean, seriously, so when we look at Isaiah 59 and look at 60, where we talk about light and darkness, the imagery, that it becomes startlingly real. And this is the word of the covenant that God said, I will put in your mouth. And it will be in the mouth of your descendants and your descendants' descendants. See, the sad reality is that, you know, we always, and Chinese people say, you know, it won't last 3 generations. And this is what we have today. It doesn't even last 1 generation. And our children and our children's children, you know, don't have the same heart of faith and love. This is a reality that we all have to grapple with. But this is something that we want to look at very carefully. For those of us who do have, first, we think about, not that we are being selfish, but we think about ourselves first. And then think about how we can reach out to our children later. The first thing we want to do is the idea of the fountain of the water of life. This is what it must be. The Word of God must become a fountain of life. Right? Now, we often think the fountain of life means I have a salvation, that's it. Well, wait a minute. Go on further. He says, of life freely to him who thirsts. So even if a person has come to salvation, there is still spiritual thirst. The promise is that the spiritual thirst will always be assuaged. The Lord will always give to that person to drink freely. Whatever you want to drink, go ahead, drink. That to me is a very, very special thing. Sometimes we take for granted, you know, and we look at all the things that we read, Luke 1, we read Luke 2. You know, we read it so often until there's nothing else to drink from. There's nothing else to take out. You'd be surprised. Every single phrase, every single word is a message in itself if we know how to drink. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. And this is the Christian life. It was meant to be like that. To have a fountain of water given to us freely. Right? Drink when you are thirsty. Anytime. All the time. Every day. All through the years. See, the problem is, you know, after a while, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm done. That's not what it says. Right? The promise is to look at it. So I look at it and I ask myself, what is it that I am looking for? There's a fountain of water, but we don't drink from it. Right? That's the problem. We don't drink freely. We drink sparingly. We drink only when we feel that we need to drink. That's not how it works. So the Christian life is very often not fully explored. Right? So when it is not fully explored, then we begin to realize how challenging, how difficult it is to understand and appreciate this. Right? But this is what the Lord promised. And He says, write this and go ahead. So that is the Alpha. Now, many people start, okay, where's here? My beginning of my Christian life is my Alpha. Where's the Omega? You know, it's almost as if we started and that's where we ended. Where is the Omega? You see what I'm trying to say? So the Christian life begins and the Lord says, I'm the Alpha. So He starts life. He also is the end of life, the Omega. But what is in between the Alpha and the Omega? That's our life. And a lot of times when you look at our life, there is hardly anything that is there. And this is something that we want to try to challenge our young people to consider. Right? To look at life and to say, listen, this is what God has started with us. This is the Alpha. You know, it's difficult to understand this, but I was sharing with them, trying to help them to understand what it means when the Lord says in Romans 5:5, right? And talking about how the Lord will pour out His love through the Spirit of God upon the people. But what does that mean? What does it really mean when we talk about the love of God being poured out? Now, we look at some of the secondary one and two, kids, and they really don't understand very much what's happening. Then there are these sec 3, sec 4, they're lost in their own world, you know, their own thoughts, and they're neither here nor there, be honest. And then there are the JC ones and then the university ones. So that's right across the board. Right? So how do you talk to them about the love of God? Which we will try. But nothing prepared us for what happened. All right? So on Thursday, when we concluded the youth conference, there came a special outpouring of love from the Lord to the hearts of the children. And right down from the youngest to the oldest, the sense of being loved by the Lord was so literally overwhelming. Tears just came. And they couldn't understand why. But they decided very there and then, you know, I want to not just have an alpha beginning, but I want the Lord to carry on until I reach Omega. The Greek alphabet is alpha to Omega. And it is not just one letter. It is there. So in English, it would be the beginning and the end. So we have a beginning, which is wonderful. The question, what is the end? And we know, we often start at the beginning and we are stuck there. Or we have drifted away. Or God has become unreal to us. Or whatever else. So we don't have a beginning and end. And we need to think about this very carefully, because this is a wonderful promise that will help us to understand what it means. So it's good to see the young man saying, Pastor, I really want to make a start with the Lord, and this is what I want to do. Well, I'm sorry, I went astray, and I really want to come back. And to see some of the boys in tears coming over to talk about the problems that they have in their life. And then they just suddenly felt the closeness of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the reality of the Lord. It became so real to them. This is what we call an outpouring. Right? And this is something that is very special and very beautiful to understand. But remember, this is what the Lord says. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And we need to be reminded of this. Right? So we may have begun, but where are we now between the Alpha and the Omega? Right? Where we are? Where are we right now? We have begun, we have the end. Where is the beginning? Where is the beginning here, we all understand. Faith in the Lord Jesus, our joy in baptize, our identification with the Lord. But what about in between now, the Alpha all the way to the end? What's happening in the in between? And we need to do this. The second thought then, what's in between is we are going to need that water of life. Right? We now know there is a fountain of life. This is Isaiah 12, actually, right? This passage here is actually very much an Isaiah 12 background. Therefore, with joy, shall you draw waters from the wells of salvation. Well, that's what we're looking at. Right? So here, the figure is that of a fountain. Right? Fresh fountain, water of life, and you, it's just there, freely. Whenever you feel thirsty, sometimes it is really, really painful. Sometimes it's painful when, an expecting mother comes and, we often take all the children will be born normal. What happens if the child is not going to be normal? Right? And this is the preparing ahead. How? And the reality of it all, that the first child is not going to be normal. But you're already past that stage where you can end the pregnancy. So now you've got to carry on. And the fear, the dread, the anxiety, the worry is very real. What do we need? The fountain of life. Right? To sustain us. And this is very important. As we look at evening years of life, and we take a look at all the older people who are coming, and they're all in a wheelchair. And just think about these things here. And, when we look at some of them who are in a wheelchair, and they're not so old as that, but just that they are very unwell, and they're very sick, and so they are in a wheelchair. And this is the reality. This is the fountain of life. But we've always got to begin. If the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, and He is the one who writes about our life, what would He write? Right? On His part, He says, I want to tell you, these words are true and faithful. Right? I make all things new. I want to do this for you. I'm going to be your Alpha, and I'm going to be your Omega, and I'm going to do this for you. What would we do? Right? To me, the best thing in life right now, if we were to understand the concept of Alpha and Omega, is for the Lord to begin with us, and we end with the Lord. And think about this. But what are the things that distract us? Watch this very, let's go on further. Right? He who overcomes, yeah, here we go, verse 7. Right? He who overcomes. Now, we read in Ephesians a whole list of blessings which we call our inheritance. Right? So the question is, when is the inheritance coming? And here is the answer. He who overcomes shall inherit. Otherwise, all those blessings that God has given to us will be in the heavenly places in Christ. So how do we find them? When we are overcomers. Back to Revelation 2 and 3. Right? Now, the things to overcome. Some people ask, I have a very long day. I keep long days. And I want to keep long days. Simply because you don't know how long you can keep long days. Right? You don't know when it will all end. You don't know when the strength will no longer be there. Right? So as long as I have the strength, this is what I want to do. Based on one. Alpha, Omega, right. Right? So here we go. Right, for these words are true and faithful. Now, supposing you were to ask to write, what would you write? Now, this is a project that I mentioned to you. So far, nobody's writing yet. All the time, I ask you to write, and I have to prod you, remind you, twist arm a little bit. Right. I mean, the Alpha and the Omega. Let's talk about the fountain of life. Let's talk about the water that is there. You drink and you feel refreshed. Right? How often do you drink? To me, every day. I begin the day with the Lord and I drink from that fountain all the time. And I really, really drink from the fountain for a while. But every morning, 1 hour at least, and just soak in the Lord's Word. Read, meditate, jog, walk, whatever it is that I have to do. And then 1 hour, let it soak in and watch what happens is that life just keeps coming back. Right? If you don't, you'll find yourself worn out, weary, and we all blame it on age. Well, age gets angry. Why you blame everything on me? It's not just age, it's just simply you. Right? It's a question of how we want to. If we were to think, this is a fountain of water, when I walk and jog and I'm thirsty, what do I do? There's a bottle of water next to me, drink. After 1 mile or 1 km, thereabouts about 1 mile, then I stop and drink for a little bit, then fresh for a while, run the next mile and drink a little bit, and then run the next mile. And before you know it, 5-6 km done. And you know, you're still fresh because you drink from the fountain of life. Not just water, but it's just a symbolic of it all, a symbolism of it all. And you look at it and say, this is what I can find. Right? So as I find life, what happens next? I become an overcomer. Right? Now, this is very important. So I need to become an overcomer. Right? So I'm something that I just really want to learn. How do I overcome In this case here, tiredness. Or in this case here, you know, as you grow older, you begin to tire out a little bit more easily. Right? So you find again and again. How do you? You just find. And your desire is just simply, Lord, help me to be an overcomer. Right? Be an overcomer. So this is what we are looking at, being an overcomer. So his life, being an overcomer, and then we say he will inherit all things. I mean, you take a look at the list of blessings which are there in Ephesians 1. You begin to realize there's a lot of things that the Lord has promised. These are all there. Like he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, right? In the heavenly places. What? How will they inherit all these things? Every time you overcome, you are the stronger. Every time you overcome, you are the wiser. Every time you overcome, you are the better. But you must be the overcomer, not the overcome. Because if you're not an overcomer, you are the other side. So either you overcome or you'll be overcome. Then you choose how I want to be an overcomer, how life. So I'm thinking in terms of how the Lord has begun in my life, Alpha. I want him to be my Omega. He has begun. I want him to be my end. Right. Right? Right? These things are faithful and true. Right? So there is the promise of fountain of water, of life. There is the promise that we will find life. This is not talking about everlasting life. We're talking about life because every time we are thirsty, we drink. Right? And 53 years later, 53 years of celebrating Christmas, and we're still finding something new to celebrate. This is a very special thing that the Lord can do. So we have life given, the promise, inherit all things. What does the overcomer inherit? And this is a wonderful thing. So the Lord promised, well on further, and I will be his God. So we read in Isaiah, he says, you know, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. For this, we read about all these things here, but you find a person who does not know the Lord, these words mean nothing much. But to those of us who are facing a lot of challenges of life, and the Lord says, I will be his God. Now, he is already our God. Right? So what does it mean when it's I will be his God? This is a very, very much more precious and personal relationship that we are talking about. There's a general idea where God is God and we are his children. And there's a very special relationship where God is not just God in general, we are not just children in general, but there is a very special relationship, God and us. And I think this is one of the most very, very special things when sometimes the young people, inside them, they are actually very scared to relate to me. I have no idea why, but they're just scared. Then came the youth conference, and then they realized that they can actually relate. They can actually sit down and talk, and they sit down and relate and become, and some have asked, can I learn this from you? Can I share this with you? Can I, and so on and so forth. I mean, to me, that's a kind of a special thing. One even asked me, what would you like for Christmas? Small one. He says, can I give you a bow tie? I said, no. I mean, they come up with also some funny ideas. Bow tie, no, thank you. But you know, I say, you just write me a card and that's good. And they write all kinds of things here. I mean, to me, that is kind of really, really special. And I will be his God. There is a personal relationship there that we can have. This is what we wanted to teach the youngsters, that they can have a very, not just a general relationship, but a very special personal relationship with God. That many of them are struggling. Struggling not because they don't have faith, struggling because they don't know how to find God real. And so God shows them how real He is by pouring out His love in their hearts. And once He has poured out their love in their hearts, suddenly the barriers are gone. They feel a sense of love. They feel a sense of closeness. They feel a sense of, you know, relationship with the Lord that is really special. That's what it means. And I will be His God and He shall be my son. Don't take this for granted. This is the promise of life that the Lord said He will give to us. Right? So if there are things that God needs to write upon our hearts, the things that He wants to write about us, it's something that's already well. Now watch the contrast. Right? Look at the contrast in verse 8. And this is something that we want to take note of very carefully. Right? So we have a whole list of things and people, a description that I really hope that we will take heed of and be sure that we are not part of it. But the cowardly. Right? Or start telling them about how people have, you know, the people I used to minister, it left a tremendous mark on my own heart. Right? I remember a 15-year-old girl, a farmer's daughter, and how she came to faith at one of the camps that I conducted over in Sarawak many years ago. Next year, she said she wanted to come to camp. I said, good, we'll see you next year. So next year, she was 16 years old, and she came, and she was a bit bruised. So I said, what happened to you? Do you have an accident? He says, no. My bruises are because when I told my father that I have become a believer, I've become a Christian, my father was so angry. He took a charcoal and beat me to unconsciousness. And I asked her, and you still want to believe in the Lord Jesus and follow Him? And she said, yes. The Lord is my God. I am His child. And I am going to follow. So I told the young people about how at 15, 16 years old, these, they're not well-educated people, but their hearts, they're in the right place. God became real and personal to them. You know, so these are the things that we want to look at it. So for them, you either believe in the Lord, to them the idea of being cowardly is not possible. No way are they going to be cowardly. Here's only one. There's another one who was going to be a nurse, so she started nursing school. So I was speaking at a nurses' fellowship in Kuching. And then she came to tell me what happened. She said, I told my father that I am now a Christian. I want to follow the Lord Jesus. A week later, they received a telegram when she was in Kuching. Come home now. Father had an accident, seriously ill. You need it at home. That was in the early days when he used telegram. They don't have computers in those days. So she asked me, just call your father and call him home and ask before you travel. Call up. Guess who picked up the phone? Her father. And her father was angry because he was found out. It's all nonsense. She took a train all the way down. She came from another. Sarawak is divided into districts, you know, and so there we came, and he came over, and he literally beat her out of senses. She had to be hospitalized. So I spoke to her and she said, I'm going to follow the Lord. Even if my father disowns me, I'm going to be there. This not cowardly, not unbelieving. Nothing shifts the thing here. Right? So when I look at it, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, they shall have their part, not in heaven, but in the lake of fire. They're going to be there. They're going to be consigned there at the end of it all. I think this is something that is just, we're talking about a person who was there, one of the most memorable persons that I remember was a person who was a detective. He came for the night meetings. Our night meetings are daytime for the campus. Night meetings are evangelistic meetings for the day. So literally hundreds of people would come for the evening meetings. They all went out to invite them. Can I invite my friends, invite my family? So they all. So every night we have, you know, camp is maybe 100 people. Night meetings, maybe 200 or 300 people. We just witness and bear witness. And my task and my challenge was to bring the Lord's word to the people. One of the guys is set in front every night, five nights. Every night he sat in front. The first to be there, the last to leave. So finally, I spoke to him because I usually do a lot of counseling work. When people come to talk about decision for the Lord, I spend a lot of time doing counseling work as well. And finally, I spoke to him. And so he sat down there and he says, Pastor, I want to tell you who I am first. So I am a really bad person. Okay, I catch criminals, but I catch criminals my way. I use cigarettes, I smoke, I burn them. They don't confess to me, they don't tell me what I want to hear, I burn them. This is how it is. I whack them, I do all kinds of bad things to them. Right? And you know, I am basically, tell you very frankly, I am not a moral person at all. So when you talk about God, you talk about life, you talk about fountain of life, you talk about what it means to be a believer, I became so convicted. Every night, I tell you, I have not been able to sleep every night because of my sins. Can God forgive me? That was a very difficult time. Can God forgive me? Right? So there we have a division. One, the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega. Don't just start, carry on to the very end. Don't just have a beginning, carry on to the very end, because the Lord is there, beginning and end. The Lord is offering a fountain of life. The Lord is offering all the. And so we spoke. And he said, Pastor, I understand. I will follow the Lord Jesus. And the first thing I will do is the very tomorrow, I will resign from my work as a detective. I cannot carry on doing what I'm doing. I'm no better than a gangster because I am just using the law to get what I want from them. No difference. They're bad, I'm no good either. That was something really, really moving to see. Out there, there's something that's very, very challenging to consider. We're talking about murderers, about being abominable. That's how I feel, unbelieving. Right? This is something very, very. So sometimes it becomes a real problem. Sorcerers, idolaters. Oh, this one is a very real problem. There was one guy who carried on his body 17 omens, 17 good luck charms, we in our language. So I asked him why. He said, Pastor, in order to get from all the way from 8th division or 5th division, sorry, 5th division to be here in Kuching, they're all divisions and I have to pass through 17 villages. It took me 3 days to be here. You know, mostly by boat. And then, you know, every village, there is a spirit there that I must overcome. So I have won for this every village. 17 villages, you know, and this is idolatry, the worst kind. Fear was there. So I happen to speak about how the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. Now, over in that side, I would normally preach through one psalm, one night, one verse, one night, one verse, 1 hour, one verse, just to explain what the text is all about. And they just listen. And this guy came up and he said, at the end of it all, he said to me, "Pastor, I took all my charms and I just threw them into the rubbish bin." So you're not afraid? He says, "No more. The Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around me. I'm going to go back to my home village and I'm going to tell them how I overcame my fear of all of these things." So it's either you are out of them or you are in them. That's how it is. So you deal with all kinds of these things here, and it's a very real thing. I think in another moment when I was still remembering all of these things here, is where a young lady came up to talk to me. And we talk about this problem of being sexually immoral and so and so forth. And she came up to me and she wept. She had a friend with her. And she said, "Pastor, I am a prostitute. Is there a place for me in heaven?" So she explained her life story. "I was looking for a job and they promised me a job. And so I came. I had no more money left. I couldn't pay for food. I couldn't pay for lodging, you know. And Pastor, I was gang raped. So now I owe them money. And they told me, there's no way you can go back. You are now unclean. Nobody wants you anymore. You want to stay here? Fine. Right? But you owe us $10,000. How are we going to pay the money?" And she said, "I worked so hard and I've saved $10,000 after several years of working." And he says, "I don't want any of these things here because I know where it's going to go. It will all lead into the lake of fire. It will all lead to the place of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I don't want a part of the second death." And so I spoke to her and tears came of gratitude, of forgiveness, and of love. And then at the end of it all, she said, "Pastor, can you give me a hug?" What can I say? I couldn't say no. So I gave her a hug. And then she said, "Pastor, this is the first and only time where I had a clean hug." I didn't even understand that at that point of time, a clean hug. That is what we are dealing with. This is the difference between life in God and the life outside God. And the challenge must be to understand this. It's not just a here and now. This is heaven as we understand it. Remember, He made all things new. So the offer is to have a life that is fresh and new. No more all of these things here. It has to be all these things out of the way. If we continue in these things here, you can be very sure where we are going to end up. It will lead into the lake of fire, which we burn with fire and brimstone, the second death. We die once. This is a second death from which we will never get out. So this is as we have a glimpse of what heaven is like, where God says, He will be our God. We will be His children. And he will make all things new. And he will give us a fountain of life. And he will give to us the things which we will inherit because we overcome. What did we overcome? All of these things. How wonderful it is. It's like when we gather together. Well, think about this. We are gathering together as people who have this same God. A wonderful God who shares all these things, gives all these things to us. Will there be a word of God given? Yes, a fountain of life. What else will be there? It's just something wonderful to take note of. And if we can do this, it would be really, really special. Well, yesterday, Saturday, some of the younger girls went to Elaine's home to bake some cookies. And I was very glad for them. They went to make cookies, all for the cooks. And, you know, and they also gave me one packet, although I'm not one of the cooks anyway. So, and then I told them, I said, this is really good cookie. Lots better than the hampers we get from outside, you know. Because they're just mass manufacturer type. And this is their. And from very young, they can learn how to care for, how to appreciate, how to express a faith in God, how to express a love for God. And that is kind of special. So when we take a look at what this passage is saying, he who sits on the throne and he says, behold, I make all things new. And how do you see the distinction between that which is made new and that which is not? Right? Those which are not, they continue to be there. They continue to be cowardly. They continue to be unbelieving. They continue to be abominable. They are murderers. They are sexually immoral. They are sorcerers. They are idolaters and idolaters. And then they're liars and so on and so forth. What's that all about? It will end up with a second death. But here is the other side. We have the fountain of life. A fountain of life that begins here and will continue always until we see the Lord. And that is something that's kind of really, really special to consider. And we don't want to take this for granted. Right? So, and you look at these things, the reality of heaven. So I was just reminded of this because, a person can pass off at any time. It literally at any time. It could be a child. It could be a young person. We see this. We see this in Myanmar all the time. And we just cannot imagine what it means to be without any kind of guidance or support or protection or provision. And this is what the Lord promised. He will be our God. We will be His children. He will be the Alpha and the Omega. He will be the beginning and the end. There will be the fountain of life all the way through to the very end. On the other side, nothing. This is going to be true. This is faithful and true. It's going to happen. It's going to be what it is. Right? And so this is something we want to seriously ponder over very, very carefully. And take time to think about this thing here. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts for worship later on. And we are glad this is our first baptismal service. And it may be a time of great remembering for us of what it means for us to belong to the Lord. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words that we have read. A promise of life on this earth, a fountain of life, and a hope in heaven. Of you being our God and we, your children, the hope of being overcomers, of becoming heirs of the kingdom of God. Help us to understand all these things and to reject that which is wrong and sinful. We pray that you will teach us how to live this life as we were meant to. We pray that you would help us to live with honor, with dignity, with humility, with gratitude, with joy, with love. We having you as our God and as the one who gives us life. Help us to enjoy this fountain of life given to us. Help us to drink freely from this fountain of water promised us. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.